Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
She's the queen of Christmas, or she has been for like the last decade or so, because she is always at the top of the charts with this track. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is always at the top of the charts, but not today, because she has been dethroned on the iTunes 100 holiday chart by an amateur and a professional. Of course, I'm talking about Jason Kelsey and Stevie Nicks' duet for Maybe This Christmas.
Maybe this Christmas will mean something more.
What the hell?
Maybe this year.
White guys, we gotta stop. Okay.
First Zuckerberg.
It started with Portnoy, and then we had Zuckerberg earlier this morning with his song. And now you got that. White dudes, you gotta do something else. Go play pickleball. Because the song thing's not working.
Did Stevie Nicks save it? Because we didn't get to hear Stevie Nicks, and she's like a legitimate singer. Is her part at least decent? I can't believe she agreed to this. Just let it.
Oh, that's bad.
Maybe this year.
Forgiveness will ask us to call someone we love, someone we've lost, for reasons we can't quite recall.
Oh no. She's a legend.
Maybe this Christmas.
No, Kristen, she didn't.
No. That is a classy Stevie Nicks voice though, but that dethroned Mariah?
I know. Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's a marketing thing. I mean, Taylor Swift is associated with the Kelsys. Taylor Swift is always going to the top of the charts. So when people see that the Kelsey brothers are releasing a song, and on top of that, you got Stevie Nicks on it too, of course, people are going to be purchasing it.
Look, we know how hardcore Mariah Carey fans are. They will not stand for this, because it did. It knocked them off of her off of number one on the holiday charts, right?
Exactly.
They're not going to have that.
Could you imagine how big the song would have been had it been Taylor instead of Stevie Nicks? But I think Taylor probably heard Jason Kelsey singing and said, oh, hell no.
I'm all set. Okay.
I have a lot of questions because if you are dating one of the premier singers, right? Like one of the most premier musical artists in the world, and you record a song, she is, of course, going to listen to it before it gets released, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So as Taylor Swift, do you have an obligation to your man to be like, this ain't it, bro?
No, I think what they did was they listened to it together. I think they laughed about it and they said, let him do it.
Yeah, because it'll make him appreciate her talents more.
Now, if you're in the NFL and you're the opposing team playing the Kansas City Chiefs and you hear this song when you're in the stadium, are you blaring this song before the game?
That's funny.
To put Travis Kelce in his place?
That's 1,000%.
So you're messing with him through his brother like they did with him at Penn State when they were talking crap about Travis to Jason.
They do that. They do that to Russell Wilson too. Everywhere that Russell Wilson goes to play football, they play the music of Future and 50 Cent because Sierra used to date them.
Yes, that's
jacked up.
Yes, every single one. Anything that they can do.
The next team that plays the Kansas City Chiefs, if they are not blaring this song while they are on the field getting like stretched out and warmed up, I am so mad at you for missing that opportunity.
If I'm other NFL teams, I'm trying to do everything I can because the Chiefs are the only team that's undefeated.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do anything.
No, they're still undefeated.
Yeah.
Even though Kelce, you have Kelce on your fantasy football draft.
I do. He's playing a little better. Yeah. The thing is, the Chiefs haven't really played that well yet. And they still undefeated. Mm-hmm. That's the scary part.
So, and you said the Cowboys are like just bombing. Mm. Is the level down across the NFL this year?
For the Cowboys, yes.
For the Cowboys, yes. There are teams this year that are good that nobody saw coming, and then teams like us who were supposed to win the Super Bowl couldn't get a bowl of cereal.
Did you check your Instagram yesterday on the video I sent you?
Yeah, I sent you a tear back. Okay. Thank you very much. Bert sent it and said, had to. No, you didn't.
It was the quarterback of the Cowboys making a prediction that the Cowboys were going to the Super Bowl this year, and then spliced into it are people from different random walks of life just laughing as hard as they can.
It's how I started my day.
By the way, is that a bet payoff down the line where we have to expose our DMs to each other, like behind the scenes? Because I know our DMs can get a little dark.
Yes, we will call it canceled day.
Our last day on the radio day.
Get it? The Bert Show.
After 3 years of doing my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, I finally learned something. Who would have thought? 3 years and finally I get a little nugget of information that is somewhat helpful to my life and to my psyche.
I'm sure people listening to your podcast are getting something out of it each and every week, though, even though it took you years.
Yes, it took me years because I'm jaded and so over the relationship stuff. But I like to think that every week there's a couple of nuggets in every episode. I've been doing this podcast on Bert's podcast network, Pioneer, for 3 years. Really enjoy doing it, but I feel like I've heard so many relationship stories and I've talked to so many therapists that sometimes it can feel admittedly a little bit like in one ear out the other because I'm like, yeah, men suck. What else is new? But I did have...
Women aren't great either.
Well, but men aren't coming on my podcast to blast the women. So as far as I know, it's only men.
Have you reached out to any guys?
Yes. Okay, I have reached out to many a man.
Okay.
And in the spirit of them not wanting to share how bad they were at those relationships, they never reach back and never want to come on. Okay. I think I've had two men come on the podcast. One reached out to me. He wanted to come on specifically because he was like, I just need you to tell me what I did wrong in this relationship. And it was actually really sweet. And I did a follow-up with him a couple of weeks ago. And he's like, I finally figured out what happened. We finally got answers to his breakup. And I was like, thank God you got answers from her. Because I'm not a psychic. I couldn't tell you what was wrong.
What was your advice about?
My advice. So what I have learned from doing breakup stories over and over and over again is that I do realize that men and women break up very differently. Women will break up with you silently over a period of months. And then something will happen. And that's just their last straw. So you think it's coming out of nowhere. You're blindsided by it. So that's what had happened to that man. But for men, typically what I have experienced from learning through hearing so many stories about how men have broken up with women is that they will do something to make the breakup happen and make it implode rather than just being like, hey, I don't really want to date you anymore.
I've been that D-bag before. When I was younger, I did that too much. What a cowardly way out.
And it's an immature thing to do. I mean, and I would like to think that everyone learns from their mistakes, myself included, in relationships. And so, yeah, it's been a really great learning experience. But through an interview that I put out this week, I actually feel like I learned something about me wanting a relationship, which is more pertinent to me considering I can't even get to the breakup part. So, I had been talking to this girl for literally a year. I saw a video of her on TikTok go viral last October where she talked about how an Amber Alert revealed something about her boyfriend that had been going on throughout the entire relationship. So she came on to talk about that breakup and she is now in a very, very healthy relationship 1 year later. She's dating like a NASCAR driver. Very cool story. Mm-hmm. And she has done the work. Like, she is the definition of somebody who decided to go to therapy to figure out what their baggage was and figure out how to heal from a relationship so you're ready for a new one. And she said something really interesting that her therapist told her that I was like, weirdly enough, that applies to me. So a way for me to cope through life is I try to see things objectively. Like, I try to take emotions out of it. And she kind of has that same philosophy too. So when she was healing from that breakup with the whole Amber Alert thing, she said that her therapist told her that in order to not feel the withdrawal of that relationship that you can feel when it ends, you need to take those dopamine, those moments of dopamine where you're getting like hits of excitement and spontaneity, and you need to fill that void with something else, because basically when you go through a breakup, it's kind of like weaning yourself off drugs. And this is how I've always viewed relationships too, because the same chemicals you experience in your head when you're in love are the same ones you experience when you're doing like a hit of cocaine or something like that. So you basically have to refill that dopamine. It's just not going to be in a relationship. And some people immediately try to dive back into relationships just to get that hit again. But for you to properly heal and to actually have an objective standpoint on that relationship, you've got to find dopamine somewhere else. You can get it from a relationship at some point, but basically find something else, like going out with friends or learning a new hobby, things that are going to fire up your brain in the same way without having to get somebody else involved. And so when I heard her say that, I was like, maybe I don't want a relationship. Maybe I just need more dopamine.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say cocaine.
I'm not opposed to more drugs.
So as the guy that has branded himself on this show as the dopamine addict, I can tell you this right now. You need some balance, because it can get you in a lot of trouble. And when you're looking for that dopamine all the time, you are making stupid decisions. You're making spontaneous decisions because they're so exciting. Not well thought through. They're fun, but it is harmful.
What was the biggest mistake you made in the search of dopamine, other than a relationship?
I mean, I've done so many things too. I mean, so many spontaneous bad decisions, drugs. I'm not proud of it. Anything to kind of keep me that dopamine going. I mean, on a day to day, I think I could probably still point to things that are just giving me that rush. It could be betting is giving you that dopamine rush. I'm one of those guys that you were talking about that jumped from relationship to relationship to continue to do that dopamine, and it hadn't really worked out very well up until recently.
So for me, I guess I heard her say that and I thought, you know, every time I feel like I'm maybe there's like a potential, there's a small little commitment phobe inside of me that goes, no, you don't need a relationship. And so maybe I think that kind of flew a little red flag in my head that said, maybe I'm not looking for a person. I'm looking for a dopamine hit. So I'm going to start looking for some healthy ways to get that dopamine going. That's not drugs.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's really
good
that you're listening to your own podcast.
Right now. Someone's got to listen to it.
It's really good that you're taking the advice from your own podcast. Okay. So maybe you should also. Where can they find this podcast?
The Breakup Breakdown is located wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Again, it's on the Pioneer Network.
You're on The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I was on the brink of tears with joy yesterday as the universe, as it does, gave me the sign that I need. Remember, I came in here yesterday and I was telling you guys about Franny. This is a dog that I adopted back in April. She came from a farm in Iowa, and she's just so sketched out. She's scared of everything. She's a big city dog now, but she is not used to this. I mean, I told you guys yesterday, she's got two places in my house that she stays, and that's her comfort zone, and she never leaves that. I also told you that the vet gave me some trazodone for her and said, look, when you guys are going to do anything that's going to take her out of her element, just slip her some of this trazodone. That'll relax her, and she'll have a good time. So I do that from time to time. The last time I went to my girlfriend's house, I knew that Franny was going to be sketch, so I gave her some trazodone because I wanted her to go with me, and she was a completely different dog in that environment, right? I mean, she jumped up on the couch, she was licking our faces, she couldn't get enough love. It was like a completely different dog. So I started to think, I wonder if it's healthy, or should I just have her on this trazodone every single day to better her life? You know, I mean, if it was a human, I would definitely be giving them that advice. Like, you know, chemically, you're just imbalanced.
You just need a little tweak.
Maybe that's all Franny needed. And I've been going back and forth. And I think part of my struggle is that I take a very small amount of Effexor. And you guys saw the effects of that when I tried getting off of it.
Yeah.
It was bad for everybody.
Yeah, it was a real scary time.
It was terrible. It was really, really bad. So I didn't want to put her through that, like on again, off again, on again, off again. She'll have a good day and then she's going to have withdrawals. So I didn't want that for her. So I asked you guys yesterday, and a lot of you hit me up with DMs saying, you know what, you should do it, you should do it. Some said you shouldn't. And then yesterday, I gave her the trazodone because, again, I was going to go over to Amanda's house. And then later on in the day, Amanda was coming on over to my house. So when she did, Franny was still, the effects of the trazodone were still with Franny, right? And you guys, first of all, Franny adores Amanda. It's not even close. I mean, she doesn't even hide the fact that she loves my girlfriend 20 times more than she does me.
We understand that too.
Totally, and I get it, man. I feel the same way about her and myself. So yesterday, here's what brought tears to my eyes. I told you guys that in the 7 months that I have had Franny, she's never played before. I've tried everything. Plastic bottles. Sometimes English bulldogs love those. A tennis ball, a laser pointer. She doesn't know how to play. I don't know if anybody's ever played with her on that breeding farm. Yesterday, she jumps up on the couch and she's playing with a stuffed animal with Amanda for the very first time.
Aww.
And I got it on video.
Yay!
I got it on video, man.
Hey.
I have never seen her happier. Franny, not Amanda. I've never seen her happier. I mean, she was a completely different dog. Happy, playing, rolling around on us on the couch. And it was the sign I needed that. I think every day I'm just going to hit her with that trash. I'm going to call my vet.
Doggy drugs.
And then the doggy drugs, man, because she's really enjoying life for the first time in like 7 months.
That's beautiful.
She's enjoying it. So thank you, universe, for giving me that sign. All right, speaking of drugs and if you should do them or not, Cassie, follow up with the crazy felonious story you told us about last week.
So my friend had told me that her mother was considering drugging her father, but it was from a good place. Doesn't make it right. But her dad's been going through some kind of depression, refuses to go talk to anyone, refuses to acknowledge he's even in a slump. Her mom's at her wit's end, so she's like, I'm going to help him because I'm his wife. I'm just going to grind up a little bit of my anti-anxiety depression meds and put them like in his food and drinks. And then he'll be treated. And then once he gets a little better, we can talk about it again. And I can, divulge what I've done and he'll go get help. And my friend and I are obviously appalled. And my friend's like, Mom, you cannot do this. Danger, danger, danger. Not a good idea. And a ton of Burt Show listeners reached out to the same things. Like, you can have adverse reactions. I know personally when I started Lexapro, it did not go well. My symptoms got worse. I got super anxious. My pupils were different sizes. And then I got on Effexor and it worked like a charm.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go. You have to do this kind of stuff under the supervision of your doctor until you find the anti-anxiety or anti-depression med that's right for you. And then it can be life-changing. But again, under proper guidance. And her mom's like, honey, it's fine. Like, we've been together forever. I'll keep an eye out. And my daughter's like, I think I have to, or her daughter is like, I think I have to tell dad. And she and I are talking about it. And of course, virtual listeners and all you guys are like, she has to tell her dad that this is going to happen.
Oh, I thought she should tell her mom that she was going to tell her dad to make sure her mom like,
okay.
Like, I'm like, you need to tell your mom. If you do this to dad, I am telling him.
So what happened was we got all this feedback and then I got an email from a Burt Joe listener who's a nurse who brought up a really good point. And I knew about this side effect, but I forgot about it. And that it's sometimes, and this is why doctor's medical supervision is also so important. Sometimes on these drugs, it can actually make you temporarily more suicidal.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Because usually, I might be butchering this a little bit, but from what I know, and you'll have to like ask a medical professional, but from what I know, it's basically, if you are so down in the dumps, it can, and you have no feeling at all, it can start to give you your emotions back, but then you're feeling sadness.
Mm.
And so that sadness is so can be so overwhelming. Instead of feeling numb and nothing, you feel sad, and that can lead to suicidal thoughts or ideation, intentions, all of that. And I was like, okay, well, that, you know, beyond the side effects, which should have been enough, now we're really, really talking life and death, especially if dad doesn't know what's going on. And so, you know, I relayed that to my friend and she's like, yeah. And so she told her dad.
She told her dad.
She went to her dad and said, Ma, things are so bad with you. Mom is going to drug you with her antidepressant meds.
Whoa. Now that could be taken one of two ways.
Yep.
Right? Either I feel so betrayed or Jesus, I didn't realize it was that bad. I got to get my act together.
And so dad looked at my friend, his daughter, and goes, I know.
What?
Oh, no.
Plot twist.
What?
Mom told dad. So after my friend talked to her mom and was like, you cannot do this. It's a bad idea. I know things are awful, but it's a bad idea. Mom came to her senses finally and was like, you're right. What am I doing? So mom went to her husband and said, things are so bad with you. I temporarily lost my mind and thought about drugging you to make you better because I want to help you and you're refusing help. And it was a come to Jesus talk between the two of them that they needed. Thank God it ended up this way.
Yeah.
He was, of course, appalled, but didn't feel betrayed because I guess he knows his wife. They know their dynamic or whatever.
Yeah.
It works for them. He knew that she was trying to help. And I think it made him realize that for her to sink to that level, that things were really, really wrong with him. And it was really affecting the family. And so because she was clear and mom, communication between adults, who would have thought?
Abby's been preaching this for weeks now.
Why
this whole communication thing.
Use your words. Speak.
This is why you're not in a relationship, okay? Because you want to communicate. But yeah, so dad's like, I know. And so now they're going to go to couples therapy.
Wow.
At least.
Wow.
So they're starting the journey.
It's the Burt Show.
You're on the Burt Show.
Now, just very, very briefly here, just before we get into Kristen here and her moral question, I want to let Atlanta know, I am really not happy. I'm really not happy with the amount of Cybertrucks I am now starting to see on the streets of Atlanta. They're starting to multiply, you guys.
Yeah.
I thought at some point or another, I'd have some kind of influence in shaming people from buying. It has had the reverse effect.
I would like to retract any negative statement I've said about Cybertrucks up until now, because I was out for a walk in Chastain Park the other day. And of course, I usually go around like 6 p.m. when it's kind of cooled down, but now it's pitch black at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And as I was walking to the park, I noticed some headlights headed towards me. I was like, that doesn't look like a car. That looks like a spaceship. And lo and behold,
yep,
it was a Cybertruck driving by. And you know what? I have to say, it looked pretty cool.
Come on.
It was sick.
I'm with Abby. I'm starting to soften too.
What is the matter with you people?
I see at least one every day. And they're starting to grow on me.
Nope.
I'm tired of the silver ones, but when it's a different color, it's kind of cool.
I do think it's a great marketing tool because it's going to catch your eye every time. Wrap it, slap a logo on the side of it, great. But as far as your everyday car, no, we can't have this, man. The only thing that I'm taking some kind of comfort in is that I was in Florida last week, and there are so many more D-bags in Florida than there are Atlanta driving these things. Can we just please stop around Atlanta? We're better than that.
All right, so I came across this story on mindset.therapy, and it's a moral question I want to ask you guys. Is she morally in the right, or is she morally in the wrong?
You have come to the right place, a studio filled with morally righteous people that have the answer for you.
And also, a secondary question for Burt and Mo, if you are concussed and you forget something, do you feel it's the responsibility of the person you're dating to reveal said information, okay?
Okay.
That's where we're going here. So the story goes, after a breakup, a woman ended her relationship with her boyfriend. The following day, he suffered a concussion resulting in memory loss that erased the breakup from his recollection. Unaware of the separation, he continued to reach out to her. 7 months later, they reunited and eventually married, with the woman choosing not to inform him about their prior breakup. This unique situation highlights the complexities of memory and relationships. So the fact that she did not disclose prior to his concussion that they had broke, that she had broken up with him, and then they ended up getting married, is that information you should or should not disclose? Is she morally in the right or morally in the wrong? I know, right?
That's a good one. That's a very good one. Yeah, I think she's morally in the wrong. And if I'm the guy, I would want to know. Just because I feel like I want to have all of the information that is that you have myself, so that when we go into this, we're going into this from the same playing field.
This is going to work itself out, because it's not like he woke up a different person. So they broke up for a reason. Now, he has forgotten that because of his concussion. But at some point or another, they're going to have the same problems that they had before. So they're going to break up either way. She's just postponing it for a little while.
So what I've learned about power dynamics in relationships is that it's not always like an age thing or like a hierarchy thing in a workplace. Sometimes it can be just if somebody has more experience or has more knowledge than you. And for this relationship to now kick off on this kind of foot, there's a weird power dynamic to where she has all of the information of their relationship and all of like this context that he doesn't have. So I feel like I have to come to his defense and say that this is morally wrong, because she has the upper hand in this relationship that he doesn't have the context for.
So yeah, Jenna and Mitchell Brotherson got married September 4th, 2020 in Draper, Utah. 7 months before they wed, Jenna broke up with Mitchell, who sustained a concussion the next day and didn't remember their conversation.
Wow.
When Jenna asked to get back together with Mitchell the month after his ski accident, she realized he had no clue they weren't together.
Now, she broke up with him?
Yes.
And after he hurt himself, I guess she was like, the pain she felt from seeing him hurt, she was like, no, I want to be with this man. So she has a conversation. He's like, what are you talking about? We're not broken up. So now fast forward, obviously, because People Magazine did this article. He's obviously aware of what transpired. But yeah, no, they got married and then she came clean. Yeah.
This is never going to last. It's still temporary. You know, she had this like shakeup of, oh my God, I could have lost him, right? That's only going to last so long.
It is awfully convenient for her, though. You go to somebody and say, I'm sorry that I broke up with you. And they go, what? You go, never mind. So anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty unique circumstances.
It is.
All right, Amber, did we almost lose you the other day?
Yes, just about. I was involved in a hit and run accident. I was the person who was hit and somebody else ran. And so pretty much what was happening, I was in Forest Park because I live in the Clayton County area. I was on the south side. South side, as they say. And they don't say that. But they don't say that.
Only people who don't live in the south side say it like that.
I think it's very funny that you're representing the south side with your Bucky's hat on.
Thank you. So I was in Forest Park, which is near like the farmers market and the DDS where you get your driver's license. And in the area, there was a turn in on 275. You can either turn onto 75 north or you can go south. It kind of splits. I already knew where I wanted to go. So I'm in the lane for 75 north to get to work. Okay. This is like 5 o'clock in the morning. This dude, I'm trying not to curse because he's such a, he's in a gray pickup truck and he's in the 75 southbound lane to go. Turns out he's in the wrong lane. So he decides, instead of turning on his blinker to let me know that he's coming over, speed up, cuts me off and realize he's too close to the vehicle in front of him, slams on brakes. Okay. So now I hit him from behind.
Oh man.
After a second, literally maybe a second, then he speeds off.
Shut up.
Speeds off.
This guy.
And we're talking about like 5:30 in the morning. So we got some traffic going into Atlanta. So now I'm like, well, should I call the cops? There's no point because I don't know his license plate. I don't know what he looks like. I'm not even sure if it was a dude, if I'm being honest with you. And so I'm kind of like, and now there's traffic building up behind me because I'm feeling like maybe I should pull over, but there's nothing I can do. So I decided to just go to work. But then I realize he goes 75 north and I'm going the same direction.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
That's how beef started on
Netflix. Yeah, bro. Yeah, I know, right?
That's how I started. You ain't learned nothing.
That's the Netflix show, yeah.
So in my defense, I didn't finish the series. Yeah. So I'm not speeding down the highway because I don't want to hit anything else. Now I'm kind of rattled, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm now looking for every freaking gray pickup truck I see is him in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm looking for this guy. And then I think I see him. And the reason I think it was him is because once he realized, I guess he noticed my car, he immediately exited. So I could not get like a photo. And honestly, even if I had the time to get the photo, it would have been dangerous because I had hold my phone. It's yeah.
Yeah. I in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm following that person.
Yes.
And I'm, but then I'd be like, but what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And like, what, because people are like so unhinged these days, especially when it comes to road rage. And I'm like, who knows what that person would do once you caught up with them.
100% agree.
And I've dangerous. I've got pretty bad road rage, or I used to, is calm down. But in my 20s, I was the person who would get out of the car.
Yeah.
And I don't do that anymore. I got into one altercation with that in college. Haven't had it since. But I, you know, my mama didn't raise a fool, but apparently I didn't pay attention to her, to how she was raising me, because I was doing stupid things. But Atlanta drivers are the worst. I've lived in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Everybody complains about that. ATL drivers, far worse.
Hey, if you're gonna,
far worse.
Hey, we want to be number one, right? You never want to be number two in anything. It's the Burt Show.
This is the Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Does this make my dude a bad parent? That is the conversation that we were having on my podcast In the Moment, which is under Burt's Network Pioneer.
Hi.
And he's the only guy on my podcast that's an actual parent. So every once in a while, I will ask him questions because it always fascinates me to see the differences in how I know he was brought up and how he chooses to bring his children up. He has two daughters. And so they're very active and athletic, into sports, into events, into dance, into a whole bunch of things. And the conversation arrived of where if your child is genuinely interested in something, let's say a sport in this example, but they're not good. They're just simply not good at it. You don't see a future. You don't see them getting any better. And as I've always heard parents say, it costs a lot of money.
And time. It's a huge time suck.
Man, I've learned more about this state, Georgia, driving my kid from soccer match to soccer match. The amount of time, the amount of money, it's crazy. I mean, we've taken calls like this before. People in $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, depending on the sport we're talking about.
And that's when I started wondering to myself, like, how do you operate around that as a parent? Because is there a certain point where you say, I know you love this and I want to support you, but I just don't think this is for you? And would you actually dig deeper to allow them to continue to do whatever it is they enjoy doing? Or would you, as a parent, try to deflect and try to get them to try to get into something else? Because you don't want to continue putting your efforts into this.
I think a lot of this has to do with your financial state also as the family.
True. So now in his situation, I, for whatever reason, thought with his personality, he was by far going to say, if that's what my baby wants to do, that's what she's doing. I'll figure it out.
If it brings them joy, why yuck their yum?
Right. Exactly that.
Well, why what?
Why yuck their yum?
Okay.
Well, he started yucking. He started yucking. And he said, no, I'm going to be honest with you. You got about a month or two to get it right.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
what's the test? What sport are we talking about? And how much can you improve in 1 month?
Well, listen, he said that there was a time in his daughter's life where she wanted to pursue soccer. And as much as she loved it, he knew this ain't it.
She just out there with two left feet?
Yeah, you don't have it.
How old is she, by the way?
At this time, I think she was about 5 or 6.
Okay. The 5 or 6, you could tell. She just didn't have it at 5 years old.
Doesn't have it.
None of them have it at 5 years old.
He's expecting her to be messy or something?
Nah, I think he was expecting her to just not be messy. And when she was on the field, he said he gave her a year. He said he gave her a year. And at that point, it was like, this is too much time. This is too much money. I'm willing to still provide the same amount of money and time for her, but into something else that she's actually good at or something that may turn a profit somewhere in the future.
Okay. She couldn't even walk 2 years ago, and he's mad that she's not a star soccer player.
Now, that's what we're talking about. Still, she's 5 years old, or are we talking now she's older?
She's older now.
Okay.
So, she's a whole whopping 6.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she got into other things, which she's very good at now. So it actually kind of worked out that he got her into other things. But I just do wonder, like, as a parent, how do you navigate that? How long do you continue to pay and shell out the time and the money if you know deep down they don't have it?
Well, I don't think you can tell that at 5 years old, no. To be honest with you.
Or 9 or 10. I mean, that's just his example.
At 5 years old, any sport is like that old vibrating football game where everybody's just and they're all in the same patch going from one area to the other. You can't tell that early, but I know that as a general rule, and in my house also, as the kids get older, they realize that their peers are better than they are, and they start to have an honest talk with themselves about their talent level, and that's when things start to shift, and you never have to have the conversation.
So moments like this is when I wish, like, my pops was still here so I could get, like, his perspective, because when I first started playing basketball in middle school, I sucked. Like, I mean, I was atrocious. I was going through that gangly phase and tripping over my feet and turning over the ball, like bouncing it up to my eyebrows. Like, I was not good. And my dad would work with me in the driveway. We'd do practice and stuff like that. But I mean, I can look back and realize I sucked, but they didn't make me stop.
Yeah. And some of the best memories that I hope that my son Hollis has with me and Hayden has with me also is just like Kristen said, is me trying to help them to get them better. Those are core memories, right? Mm-hmm. So if he was really, really great at it, we probably wouldn't have had those.
Well, okay. See, because I played on basketball teams and football teams that it cost a lot of money to be on those teams. And I had teammates who I was thinking to myself, man, you got good parents. They still holding it down for you.
I feel like if it brings her joy, then he needs to support it even if she sucks. My first year playing middle school basketball, they had a rule, right, where every player had to play at least half a quarter.
I remember that rule.
So, right? So I had to play at least 2 minutes and 50 seconds in a game or something like that, right? And I went the entire season and scored one free throw.
Really?
One free throw. That was it.
How many did you shoot, though? How many free throws? Did you at least go 50%?
I don't know what my percentage was. All I know is I had elbow pads, I had knee pads because I fell so much because I would trip over my feet. And so in my heart, I want to be like, even if your kid sucks, if they are getting something out of it, like, especially if it's a team sport, there's more to be learned than just like ins and outs of the game. It's you know, about team camaraderie and teamwork. So, yeah, I feel like he's got to suck it up, man.
Okay. I think Kobe used to tell a very infamous story that when his dad went to Europe, and Kobe clearly went to Europe with his dad to be with his family. His dad was a basketball player, a pro, goes to Europe. Kobe wants to follow in his dad's footsteps, so he starts playing basketball in Europe. And the very first summer he played, he didn't score 1 point the entire summer. The entire summer.
That's fair.
And ended up being Kobe Bryant.
And Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team.
Right.
So, yeah, those are both valid points.
Right. Here, Bird Show.